Hi, and welcome to Out on the Edge, where co-hosts Judy McCord, Robin Hamilton, and Betty Priu, three queer, weird sisters Shakespeare could not have imagined, present an all-ages tour of what it's like to be gray and queer and weird in North Carolina in these oh-so-interesting times. For today's Thanksgiving episode, November 24th, 2025, we wanted to just spend some time with each other and talk about gratitude, what it means to us, and what we are grateful for. First, though, speaking of being grateful, we'd like to give a shout-out to WCOMLP Chapel Hill Carrboro at 103.5 FM for hosting our show. We're brought to you by Orange County, North Carolina Department on Aging, to whom we are deeply grateful for their guidance and support. You can listen to the show live Monday afternoons, 3 to 4 p.m. Eastern Time, or stream us on WCOMFM.org. Archive shows can be found on the Orange County Department on Aging website at www.orangecountync.gov/aging, as well as a host of links to helpful resources and services for seniors in Orange County, North Carolina. We honor that the town of Carrboro and surrounding land was originally part of the Saponi people's territory, which also included the Eno, Tutelo, and Socorro Nation. Lastly, questions and suggested topics for future shows can be emailed to outontheedgeradio@gmail.com. Thank you. Gobble, 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 and away we go. Pick it up, someone. We're winging it, folks. Very turkey kind of a thing.
Oh, yeah.
Winging it. Get it?
Wing, okay. Wing. So we talked about wanting to talk about gratitude. And I know we all talked about going off to make our own list of things we wanted to talk about and share. And I think we'll learn a lot about each other, but we'll also learn about things in the area and things that are available to us and our listeners to hook into, go check out, watch out for, because, there's a lot of wonderful things going on in our area. In a really hard time in our history, it is important to build community and to experience fun and joy. So, I think that's part of what we're going to get to with this gratitude episode. So, Robin, I'm going to tag you first because you haven't been here the last few weeks, and we missed you a lot. So,
it's not like I was having a great time not being here, but it's just, let me just sum it up. It's nice to be able to sit down again for a while without the big fat pillow that I brought just in case.
Simple pleasures.
And I'm actually very grateful for that. And what you were just talking about, the mechanics of us doing the show, finding each other. Judy and I have known each other for a long time. You and I have met only recently for this very project, and I feel like we are, I could not imagine a better way to spend a chunk of the Thanksgiving week than with two of my best friends right here. So I'm just going to get really cliched and hackneyed, I think, before the end of the program, but I'm really grateful for that opportunity. And I have a long Shaggy Dog story prop in the back of my head of how I got here, which, if when we if we completely run dry of everything else like that, I can certainly pull that out, because it all started a long, long time ago in a high school in Macomb, Mississippi, and led directly here. It is very strange how that all happened, but I have had a number of people who have heard the show tell us how good we are at it, and they weren't drunk,
nice,
which is sort of amazing. But I've also, when I talk to people about potential guests and things like that, I describe the show to them, and people just go, "Oh my God, what a wonderful idea! Oh, I can't wait! Yes, sign me up! That kind of thing like that." So I'm looking forward to wrapping up my recovery. And investing as much time as we can in December planning the 2026 shows. I think we've got juice.
Yes.
So,
I like that. Absolutely.
We've got giblets, we've got gravy, we got stuffing, but we got juice.
We got sweet taters too.
And I just to be clear, I'm a tofurkey kind of girl. So if we want to talk about dead birds and things like that, I will excuse myself. But no, so
I'm kind of that way too. I got tofu at home too.
I'm so sorry.
I've got tofu at home too. Turkey's just not way high on my list
food.
Of things.
It's yeah. What about you, Judy?
Well, I'm going to be picking up Thanksgiving dinner for my best buddy, Hannah, who's 91, and both sons who live in Chapel Hill are going to be out of town. So Mac and I are going to bring her probably not turkey or tofurkey, but, you know, maybe a fish.
Oh, yum. I would prefer that.
Yeah.
I could go for a fish.
Yeah. I don't know what we'll be putting together for her, but we're looking forward to spending our Thanksgiving with one of my new friends, who, by the way, I met at the Wellness Center at Seymour Center, which was my opening to Chapel Hill and what I'm grateful for in Chapel Hill. And that's the Seymour Center. I even wrote a poem about it. Y'all want to hear it?
Yes.
Sure. Not your mother's senior center. Voting early at the senior center, not the school, not the church, the Seymour Center, in my new home, Chapel Hill. On the way to the voting booths lined up along the balcony, a balcony? Yes, a balcony. I see pool tables, ping pong tables, a piano and a kitchen, open spaces, indoor, outdoor, upstairs, downstairs. Now when I step out of my house that was a prison, after so many months of fear and isolation, I'm drawn to this magical space, possibility and community and connection. I find endless possibilities. A quarterly publication full of opportunities I never knew I was missing until I read about them and wanted to do them all. Here's a place to make a difference, share my talents and life story and plans for my future with peeps of a certain age. What does that mean? Every age is a certain age, right? Right. In the Wellness Center, I'm challenged by my own personal trainer. I met this lady there. She disagrees with me about everything. I mean everything. Well, there's this one thing. Challenging our bodies to keep on keeping on. We're biking and chatting and sharing family stories and banana bread recipes. She lives on a farm with chickens. I get my toenails clipped here in the Wellness Center. It's hard to handle the clippers and, to be honest, reach my toes. Waiting my turn, this curly-haired, bright-eyed lady says, "Hello, my best friend just died. Will you be my new best friend? My 90th birthday is tomorrow."
Oh, my goodness.
Mm. We exchange business cards. Mm. She does dog portraits with pastels. Three of my dogs captured with their always expression. She doesn't like dogs. I've met two new friends over the age of 90, maybe more. I don't ask. Inspiring and taking part in the process of being alive every day. I find passion and compassion, peace and joy, and endless possibilities. So much more than free lunch and bingo. The Seymour Center in Chapel Hill.
That's so beautiful.
Nice.
Thank you.
Lovely.
That's where I was introduced to my queer elder family in Chapel Hill, which is the source of so much joy in my life. So that's one of the major things I'm thankful mm-hmm. for this year.
Nice. Well, you know, I'm going to just kind of riff on that and broaden it and say, you know, a huge, huge thank you to the Orange County, North Carolina Department on Aging, because they're the ones who run and, you know, argue for funding for the Seymour Center in Chapel Hill and for the Passmore Center in Hillsborough, which is the two senior centers we have here in the county. And, you know, it's a huge deal to have those things here. It's a huge deal to have county employees who argue for funds and programs to support seniors in this, especially in this county, you know, through their years, because loneliness is one of the top, you know, indicators for likely earlier death for us old folks. And, you know, you don't have to be lonely. You can go to these places. And they create a space where you can meet new friends. And I think at our age, sometimes we're beyond the okay, fine, we don't have to have the same opinion about things. Let's just see where we have common ground. That's what I'm hearing.
Banana bread.
You know, hey, stuff like that.
Yeah.
So thank you. Huge thank you to the Orange County Department on Aging, who also provides the funding and support for this program.
Right.
And
yeah.
supports our LGBTQ plus senior resource team and plans events at the Seymour Center and outside of the Seymour Center. Because without this county support and funding, I would not know either of you. And there's a lot of other folks I know now and enjoy regularly, you know, meeting with for coffee and things who I would never have met. I would never have had the opportunity. So thanks to the folks who do good work to bring us together. So.
Well, and as we were talking about earlier, and you're probably going to talk some more about, but now because I know you, because I knew Judy, I now know you. And because I know you, I now know about the Common Women's Chorus.
I'll talk about that, definitely.
This just told me about it a minute ago, and it's just like, I can't wait to, I'm not a singer, but I would, this is something that would be something I would support crazily. Mm-hmm. It's just wonderful.
Yeah, so. Well, you know, since you brought it up, it's on top of my list, so how about I just jump in?
No, just go right there.
I just shared with Robin, there is a group in this area called the Common Woman Chorus that's been here for almost 50 years. It's based in Durham, rehearses usually at the Eno River Unitarian Universalist Church and does performances there. And seriously, 50 years. I was a member for 20 years. There are a lot of us who are alumni of this around here because it draws people from all over the triangle, and we've had members from beyond the triangle. And I have seen this chorus grow from, it grew out of the feminist tradition early on. We will have a radio show to discuss some of these, and maybe more than one, because I'd like to share that history with everyone. But it grew, and it became a very safe space for those of us who were lesbians in the early 90s who weren't out, because a good number of the women were lesbian. We could be out there, and there was no issue. I've seen this group grow, though. It had its first trans member about maybe early 2000s, and the group just took her in. And what Robin was talking about was this last concert they had this Saturday. They've grown their audience so much, they do two performances, and they pretty much fill up the sanctuary at Eruf for that. They did a concert they called The Witching Hour, and it was, in addition to an excellent concert with very feminist, very humanist, very heart-filled music, I believe it was the first performance of two of the songs by their new trans ensemble called Transposition. And it was all trans women. I think there were 10 who came up and out of the chorus. So they are part, almost all of them are part of the general chorus, of the maybe 60-voice chorus at this point. But they came forward and were joined by two friends. They sang two pieces. The last one had us in tears. And they got a standing ovation after that. I mean, it was that the words and the performance and the music were amazing. So I am incredibly grateful for the Common Woman Chorus surviving for this long in our area and growing and adapting to become a safe place for all women and to embrace its trans women members and give them a stage to show what they can do. And they were amazing. We'll talk, like I said, we'll have some future shows about that chorus and its influence and effect on the LGBTQ community around here. But it's just amazing to watch a group grow, really grow over the years.
And it's given, our listeners now know about this too, and I'm sure there are people who never have heard about it, like me. I don't know everything.
You're right.
But that's one of the things that is most most in awe of what we can do with this show and the opportunity we have to celebrate this kind of triumph that the chorus has been accomplished over 50 years, and the other people that we have been talking to and what they have done and their contributions to society, and you know, our own individually and as this show, but it's a powerful thing. And I was really really struck by when you were telling me about this before the show, just how enchanted I was by just what you just said.
Yeah, well, and I remember, I'm going to speak as a, it's like sort of like once you're a chorus member, you're never not.
Oh, yeah.
So I still say we. And I am going to say, I think they still inspire me because, it's proof of what a group of people can create together when they come together with a strong shared purpose. And, you know, their strong shared purpose includes, let's see if they have any of on this. Their vision statement. Well, their mission is to cultivate connection and change through the healing power of music. And their vision statement is, Common Woman Chorus is a beacon for equity, justice, and belonging in the Triangle and beyond, particularly for the LGBTQIA+ community. So this has evolved a lot over the years. I was part of the leadership in the 90s and early 2000s. We didn't have a statement like this. When I first joined in the early 90s, we were not out at all. It took us till the late 1990s. We partnered with the Triangle Gay Men's Chorus, an iteration of them, to do a Pride concert. And that was it. We were out. So, because, guilt by association. Yeah. We didn't have gay or queer in our title, but, here we were with the Triangle Gay Men's Chorus. So, it's wonderful to see this group evolve over time. And it's all volunteer, except I think there's a few paid people now.
Yeah.
But, it's like there is great power in us joining together, building community, and creating something out of nothing. That's what I see. When I see this chorus,
and they cover Stevie Nicks, so they got good taste.
Oh, well, there's that, and they don't have the encore that they did on here. It was that Aquarius, what's it? Let the Sun Shine In, and we all stood up and sang and clapped. It was great fun.
I'm sorry, I missed it.
Our age knows this. I'll make sure you guys know about the next concert.
Fine. It reminds me, completely unrelated, but I was at a puppet convention in Atlanta. It was a national festival, and we went to see a performance by the House Rock Band at an established puppet theater in Atlanta that's there, and a big hardcore. And anyway, the band was just playing a bunch of different things and stuff like that, and for the finale, they did the Time Warp. Everybody, and this is like people in their 70s, 80s, people down in their teens, everybody in that little theater was standing up in the theater. We're shoulder to shoulder because it's packed, and we're all doing the Time Warp. And we're just, it's just, we oozed out into the aisle because everybody's doing the Time Warp because it was that sort of...
It's joy.
That joy that music triggers. I mean, that's one
the
thing
connection.
That Mac is so enchanted with his Celtic music is that the joy that it releases in him and his composing. But it's a universal communicator and stuff like that. But you're mentioning that reminded me of that. It also reminds me of that moment in the Lilith Fair that I went to see when Jewel was performing. And it was getting late in the day, and it was hot, and it was summer, and everything like that. And she said, do you all mind if I take my sweater off? And she took her sweater off, and she was just wearing a tank underneath. And 12,000 lesbians went crazy when she did that. 12,000 lesbians and me.
Mm-hmm.
It was just that, again, it's the communal impulse. It's just music brought us together. We were all there just, Anyway, that's... That's probably another show is talking about the Lilith Fair and what I, my experience there and everything like that. But still, it's just that, And I think that coming full around to what we were talking about earlier, you were talking about earlier about the way that this show contributes to a sense of community and helps with building a sense of community. I mean, we're all meeting so many new people in the community that we never knew were out there, what they did or anything like that. And it's just it's impressive, and I'm really grateful for the opportunity.
The thing that I've noticed about having folks on and learning about them, they're people I've known for a while, but I never knew them. And in this safe space of this old studio, we can really speak to one another from the beginning mm-hmm. of who we are
yeah.
and just really blossom. It's been moving for me not only to meet new people and hear more about them than I have ever known. It's also a chance for me to be safe and share myself.
Yeah, exactly.
And remember what I've brought to the party yeah. and who I am on the planet. And that's something that, as I was getting older, I was thinking, I'm done for. And it's like, what?
Tomorrow.
Really, it makes me feel younger almost every time I'm in here with you guys.
Yeah, after all, tomorrow is another day.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
We bring a lot to this little space. And one of the things I'm grateful for with regard to this little space is Jacques, Dave,
Chris,
Heather, Chris, yeah. all of these wonderful folks who are part of the WCOM family who've taken us under their wing. Yeah.
They will just jump yeah. and answer any questions.
They will. And they've made us feel like the new kids on the block and just totally welcome. And they've supported us. I learned some new stuff today talking with Jacques in his 1 o'clock show that mm-hmm. he does on Mondays. And learned how to use the CD player and cue up songs that we want to listen to. And, whoa, it's mm-hmm. all, it's like every time I meet with anybody, there's something new that we have coming up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He talked about one of the things that they're planning in the future is a more a sophisticated way to include Zoom participants and live participants in the same show. To have the technology to do that. We can do that now with our computers hooked into the line in.
Right.
And we haven't done that yet, but oh my gosh, the possibilities.
Yeah, no, I mean, we have talked about it, but not knowing how the technology, how to do it exactly, as we're still, that's amazing, that's wonderful, and I think that will really up our game?
I think so. And that's one of the neat things about this show, the possibilities. Every time we get together, it's, oh, we can do that. Oh, how about these people? It's every time I walk down the street in Chapel Hill or in Carrboro, I meet somebody new. Oh, did you hear about our radio show?
It's
Out on the Edge.
That's
almost 100% of the people I've talked to about that say, oh, what a cool name. Oh, yes. So we just become the kids that are known for being out on the edge. And I love that.
No, and I have been... You know this, but their audience doesn't know this, but I've been doing some editing on some of our older shows to get them prepped for the archives and stuff like that, and, you know, fixing things and putting gaps. And I used to do that years ago, but I haven't done it since. And so, but just the past couple of days, I was like, oh, I remember how to do this. Oh, this is cool. And I did that. Oh, my God. I got rid of the burping. I got rid of the humming and hawing. I got rid of the, you know. I mean, you're...
You need to get rid of my wheezing and my coughing. Okay.
No, there was one show, remember, where you had turned your mic down and during the show, and then you did the closing with your mic off. And for our listeners at home, you could hear Barry back in the background. There's hardly anything. And so that night, Judy re-recorded the ending on her phone and sent me the MP3 file. And I only just a couple of days ago figured out how to take that recording and match the volume of the studio level recording.
Wow.
And paste them together. I mean, I had pasted them together before, but there was a giant volume discrepancy that was driving me nuts. And finally I said, you know, I'm reworking this. I'm going to fix this. And then I went, oh, I did that. I have the opportunity to do that. And it's like... Yeah, I'm not.
I'm
done.
So grateful for Robin's technical expertise with audio. I cannot express how grateful
this really
I am.
Appeals to the tech nerd in me, but it's when you said, "What am I doing? I'm old, I'm done." It's like, no, 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 no. You can learn Audacity. And apparently there's something out there that our friend Michael, the sound professor from Wilmington, says, oh, I've got something that's even better than Audacity for you. And he's like, I can. And it's like, you know, tech nerd alert. But it's like, so.
Tech nerds in our 60s and 70s
yeah,
alert.
Yeah, but that's the thing, you know.
See, we can learn,
yeah,
right?
I'm doing
absolutely.
That. And there's I didn't pick it for the quote today, but there's a Gertrude Stein quote that I really like and says, Gertrude Stein said, we are always the same age inside.
Hmm. Oh, boy, that is right.
I like that.
That's like...
And you can't...
It's like that certain age thing.
Yeah, it's...
I am a certain age.
And you can't explain it. Uh-huh. Nobody could... I would have never really understood that younger.
Yeah, I don't know. I've always... When I was younger, I always associated with and felt at home with older people. And then one day I looked up and I realized that all the people I was associating with and working with were all younger than me. And I never noticed any transition because I still felt the same mm-hmm. all the way through. And
of course.
Yeah, that's...
good quote.
Yeah, because, I mean, that's a good lead-in for my shaggy dog story.
Yeah, we're not done yet.
No, we could take a moment for a station identification.
Sure. Yeah, that sounds like a good idea.
Message from our sponsor.
Yes.
How about
break,
that?
A break. Mm-hmm. You know,
take it away, Betty.
You want the ad, right?
Okay. Yeah.
Betty's up.
Okay, the ad. See, I know those of you listening, you hear how much fun we are. So if you want to meet us and some other really cool older folks, we'd like you to join us on Wednesday, December 3rd at 5:30 at the Seymour Center that Judy so beautifully summarized in her poem to come to a potluck and a rom-com, gay rom-com movie. To just have a nice start to the December holidays. Usually a nice crowd there. Everybody cooks well. And if you don't cook, pick up a pizza, grab some cookies at the store. Nobody judges. It's just, we'd love you to join us. Potluck starts at 5:30. Movie usually starts about 6:30. And we would like you to register in advance by calling the Seymour Center at 919-968-2070. 919-968-2070. We would love to meet you in person. And you know you'd love to meet us in person. So that's
you.
It for the
thank
station
you.
Break.
No, that's great.
I have to second that. Every time we have a potluck, I meet somebody new or I meet someone that I didn't know very well and I get to know them better. And we have great laughs. I can't tell you how many times mm-hmm. I've really good belly laughs with that gang.
Oh, yeah. And you reminded me, I know the name of the movie. It's a sweet, sweet movie that I've seen before that I like so much. I want to see again, called The Holiday Sitter. It's about a gay uncle whose sister calls him and says, oh, we have to go out of town, my husband and I, or we want to go out of town. Can you come sit, you know, house sit with your, you know, nephew and niece? And so he comes. He's nice. He's really cute, okay? Really cute. Has no clue how to deal with kids. But this very handsome contractor across the street is already really great friends with the family and the kids. And he helps the uncle. And, oh, it's like I said, it's a romantic comedy. You know, it will warm your heart. And it is one of those, since about 2020, 2021, there have been really nice gay lesbian rom-coms, not all full of tragic coming out horror stories,
right,
okay?
Right.
But just assumes a world in which gay people are just the norm.
Just people.
Are loved by their families and well integrated. And we know that's not the case for a lot of people today. But you know what? if we can see it on screen, we can work towards it. So come join us and experience a little bit of joy. So
I will be there in spirit.
So. Good.
You'll be there in person soon.
Good.
But at one of these days. Yeah.
Yes.
Good.
But, yes.
So I have a few things to talk about, but, you know, why don't y'all, if you want to. Yeah.
Well, I came across something this morning. I was reading my emails, and there's something I get. I think it's called the marginalia, and Maria Popov, I'm not sure of the name. She sends out all kinds of connections with this author and that author and this subject and that subject, and I came across something about friendship today, and I read, golly, I don't know how many gazillions of poems and essays about friendship, and I came across this Celtic statement from John O'Donohue about Anamkara,
Irish
soul
Irish
friend, and I'll quote, "A friend who is a loved one awakens your life in order to free the wild possibilities within you." Is that cool or what?
Yes, and
that's what y'all do to me.
And now I have to jump in and say one of the wonderful things I am grateful for this year. My wife and I went to Ireland on a trip with our church, and it was really a pilgrimage to old and spiritual sites in Ireland. We were at John O'Donohue's grave, which is up a long hill to the coastline. It was beautiful, and his writings in general are very powerful. That would be a name to look up. I think he was a priest who left the priesthood at some point, a Catholic, Roman Catholic priest, but very spiritual. And a lot of the people who came on the tour with us started picking up his works and quoting things in our group chat on Signal, I think it was. So, I'm glad. I'm not surprised to hear this with him. So, and this kind of leads into one thing I wanted to talk about. Some gay folks, I grew up in the Roman Catholic Church. We never talked about gay people. We didn't. It's just, that wasn't there. I have a good friend who grew up in an evangelical church in Texas, and that constantly scapegoated gay people. And, it took him a long time to really acknowledge and become the very wonderful gay man I know today. So I want to let queer folks out there know that especially in Chapel Hill and the Triangle, you can find gay-affirming, not just accepting, but gay-affirming Christian churches. I don't know much about other denominations. I attend one, the Binkley Memorial Baptist Church in Chapel Hill, where to be out is just great. This is you. This is your wife. Hi, let's find another common ground. And it is just not a big deal. We are, and churches, those churches like that, to me, tend to also really understand the base message of Jesus. If, I consider Jesus one of my gurus, and I told the pastor that before I joined, Jesus is not my only guru. You're going to be okay with that because I can't come here otherwise. but there the focus is on Jesus and Christianity. And the focus our particular church has is love God, love your neighbor. And that is it. If you ride past that church right now, you'll see actually a gay banner, a pride flag banner that says all are welcome. And the one above it has to do with freeing Gaza. The church has decided to take a stand against killing. Against killing. It's not against Jewish people. It's against killing, against genocide. And, that goes for gay folks, too. A lot of folks would like to see us killed. So I can willingly put my energy into that church community because of the social justice it stands for and actually lives. I mean, we do standing up for social justice, 1 hour on a Saturday, once a month, but they've been doing this for 5 years, and anyone can join. So if you feel a calling to a Christian church, it is worth looking around this area for gay positive, gay affirming churches who will take you exactly how you are and love you that way and invite you to become part of their community. And I think it's important for us to have many community circles we're involved in, like the Seymour Center, you know, like the Common Women Chorus, you know, because we need more people in our lives. And community is how we get through hard times.
Oh, so, and that's where our strength comes from, too.
Yeah, so I would, you know, especially for those of you who...
And hope.
Hope.
Exactly.
The more people I get to know that I've never known before, that I never would have had a conversation with, the more people I get to know, the more hope I have. Mm-hmm. Even people who don't agree with my rabid left liberal opinions and mm-hmm. beliefs, there's a lot of hope in knowing that people do care about one another, no matter what.
Yeah, and there's a lot of power to me in joining established groups whose mission and intent you can support. Because there you have a family you can call upon to, hey, I'm interested in doing this. You want to support this. And like I said, the Binkley works very democratically in a lot of ways, you know. And if, you know, you have an idea for something, a book you want to read or study, you can lead that if you want to. So I think there's a lot of power in joining established groups, if you can.
There's a structure and a framework.
Yeah.
And so that it's something to lean into and take
Correct.
Advantage of and contribute to. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the love you make is equal to love you take and blah, 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 blah.
Right.
Say that again, not quite so fast and swallowing out.
I'm sorry?
What did you just say that disappeared out of my ears?
The final line from
Abbey
Road?
The love you take,
Road?
That part.
I can hear it. Say it again.
The love you make.
The love you take is equal to the love you make.
Thank you.
Okay, I thought everybody knew that.
I just didn't hear it.
Yeah, that's all right.
I'm not sure I knew it, so thanks. Good words.
Oh, okay.
And like I said, this was not an advertisement for Binkley Memorial Baptist Church, but just to encourage folks who feel drawn to religious communities. It's worth looking around if you are queer.
No, it's pointing out again how lucky, how privileged, how fortunate we are to be in this area at this time
mm-hmm.
with the way things are going on right now, is that the things that we need to find are here.
You're exactly right.
You know,
they're
there. And I had no intentions of ever coming back to the South when I left in 1974. I swore I would mm-hmm. never live in the South ever, ever, ever again. Couldn't make me. You're not the boss of me. It's just not going to happen. No, 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 no. And here I am after 25 years in Chapel Hill, still here, and paid off the house, and we are here, you know. We're
for sure,
here,
for
we're
sure.
queer, get used to us. So.
Yes. In that same community in Chapel Hill, I've discovered a new place recently. The Flyleaf Bookstore.
You just found Flyleaf?
Well, now
okay.
It's okay. Give me a break.
I'm repeating that for the people in the audience who didn't hear. You just found Flyleaf Books.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
I discovered they have two book clubs that are queer-related. There's the Genre Nonconforming Book Club and the Queer Death Book Club. And I've been going to the Genre Nonconforming Book Club and have discovered a whole community of queer folks that I would never have had any interaction with, most of them much younger than myself. They have such a huge variety of folks in the group, maybe 10, 6 to a dozen people at any one meeting. It's monthly. And they pick books that I probably would never have picked off the library shelf, and I've enjoyed them thoroughly, except for one that had a little more violence than I like in what I read. But mostly they're books that open my experience to something new. Like you say, a like-minded community, people that I would never have seen anywhere else. Well, and books I would never have found anywhere else.
An ongoing cascade of new experiences, whether we take advantage of them or not.
Right.
You know, it's just there is so much, and the triangle is such a unique cauldron for that kind of thing between UNC and Duke and all the medical centers and university centers and RTP and Raleigh being close and all that other stuff. It's just there is so much intellectual activity going on here, and that is a beast that needs food, that needs entertainment, that needs distraction, that needs outlets and everything. And here we are basking in it, basically. All of these opportunities, like, you know, the Seymour Center or, you know, Binkley Baptist. I remember when Binkley's always in the news as being woke and being, you know, a counter thing like that. And they got, there was a, I seem to remember a thing a few years ago with the Southern Baptist Association.
Oh, yeah. There's a timeline when you walk in the back part of the church. I didn't point that out to you guys last time we had a meeting. But in the late 1990s, they agreed to take on a gay man as a ministerial candidate. And I think that was the driver towards them being I don't know what the official word was, but basically kicked out of the Southern Baptist Conference.
Yeah,
And so there are other Baptist conferences that are not the Southern Baptist that scapegoats queer people. But yeah, there was that. And then I think they had a Holy Union there at one point a little later. And that Fred Phillips, these Westboro Baptist church folks, they actually came, though, and they went across the street, and they were protesting there. So that's all on their timeline of social justice work they did, because the church's roots are like 50, 60 years old in the effort to desegregate, you know, black and white people in this town.
Yeah.
And they did some work and still do work in that area.
I'm sure.
But, you know, they have They worked through accepting their gay members, and we are an integral part of church life now. I've spent most of the weekend on the what's looking to become the queer kitchen crew. we helped out with a big like over 100 person potluck that happened at the church yesterday, and it was lovely. Just getting to sit and meet people. So, we're really blessed to have a lot of opportunities for engaging, depending on what your heart and soul care about.
Yeah.
You know, that's
precious.
Mm. Very much so.
And it's a valuable resource for everybody, with whether you have any sort of religious leanings or none.
And you know, and even if you don't, one of the other cool things at Binkley we're doing is the sanctuary area is this nice wood and glass structure. It's a great performance space for musicians, and we have had every once in a while there's a concert there. It's not really religious music. It's just like flute duets accompanied by piano, and amazing. We live in an area that has amazing people who ply their craft, amazing musicians. Yeah. So about 2 weeks ago, there was a performance that was just mind-boggling. And free. You know, it's like, where can you get a free professional performance? So.
Well, and the other thing is, I am not a religious person at all, but Binkley is my polling place. So I have been at Binkley almost every election since 2000, except for the ones where I go to the Seymour Center to vote, which we started going there because they had assisted voting for my mother-in-law. She became, you know, a little bit too frail to try and go in and negotiate with that. They would come out to the car and help her with that. And so now we just, you know, we do early voting at Seymour Center or not, or we go to Binkley. So it's like, and I just made that connection between the two of you and my voting record just now as we're sitting here. So
I think as the eldest of our group, I probably have voted more times than any of you.
Yeah.
I'm sure you did.
I've never missed one.
I missed my first one. I had a chance to vote for George McGovern, and there was a long, huge line out of the student union when I was crossing campus, and I said, oh, my vote's not going to count. I'll get back to it later. And then everything changed the way that election did so, and I have never missed an election since. I was so angry that I didn't go in and support George McGovern for president against that person that won instead. But yeah, and yes, you were voting already before then, but that I remember my first one, and that I screwed it up so badly.
But that's another thing to be grateful for,
yeah,
that we can vote and that our votes do count, at yeah, least for the moment.
For the moment, yeah. No, that's...
I hope it keeps getting better and not worse. That's
yeah,
my hope.
We could go off onto a whole new show.
Yeah, but this is about gratitude.
I know. So I'm gonna jump in with the last couple of minutes, because a point I did want to make that might sound counterintuitive is I am extremely grateful for the chaos that I grew up in with my abusive alcoholic parents, because I never learned to have plans for the future. I never had any sense of security. I never felt worthy of being safe. So anything that I accomplished was because I had to do it for myself. So I never learned to rely on anybody. I never learned to expect anything from anybody. But at the same time, I never learned to make plans for the future, so I never got locked into a track. I was always able to sort of go from shiny object to shiny object. Squirrel! You know, shiny object, squirrel! You know, like that.
I would say you followed your intuition.
I did. And it took me a long time to realize that that's what I was doing. But I gave up science, which everybody had been drumming into my head for years, was my path to go into the arts when I hit high school, because that felt right, you know. And so I went into the arts. And then it's like, oh, just the long thing is that led to going to one particular college that I shouldn't have gone to, which led to me going to another college that I would never have gone to, which led to going to from Mississippi to Montana, because that was literally the furthest place away from Mississippi that I could get to. And that was where my first marriage ended in divorce. So I met somebody else, and we wound up in Minneapolis by happenstance.
Mm-hmm.
And that ended. And then I wound up in New York, and I met Anna Marie, and we wound up here because her mother lived here. And here I am in the studio with you.
Everything that has come before this moment in our lives had to be there for us to have this moment.
And led directly to this
exactly.
moment.
Exactly. You reminded me of one of the main things I'm grateful for is the first husband. Not a fun relationship, but I got my son out of that relationship.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he,
yeah.
I'm very grateful for him.
That's awesome.
I think we are ready to...
To wrap it up?
Okay. Yeah. Wrap it
so
up.
I will take that on. And that's, again, I'm very grateful for being here with you, too. Thank you. And that's our show for today. Don't know about you, but I am full. Before the tryptophan kicks in, we would like to again thank WCOMLP Chapel Hill Carborough at 103.5 FM and the Orange County Department on Aging for making Out on the Edge a reality. But we're especially grateful to you, our listeners, for your support. Remember, you can contact us at outontheedgeradio@gmail.com. In closing, let me offer this for dessert. When we give cheerfully and accept gratefully, everyone is blessed. Maya Angelou. So, join us again next week with Judy McCord, Betty Priu, and me, Robin Elise Hamilton. Be safe, make noise, peace out.